There was once breakfast at Tiffany's. Now the American Jeweler is on the sale menu. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. LVMH, the European luxury conglomerate that owns Louis Vuitton and Moët Champagne, confirmed this morning it's in preliminary talks to buy Tiffany. It's reportedly offering about $120 a share, which would be a 30% premium to Tiffany's Friday closing price. LVMH already owns other upscale jewelry brands, so why is it interested in the maker of the Little Blue Box? Rebecca Robbins, global luxury lead at Interbrand, explains.
LVMH obviously has been a powerhouse in European luxury. It certainly is an opportunity to expand its presence in the US. LVMH is the most diversified luxury group. And alongside those recent acquisitions that we've seen in travel, in hospitality, and other areas, it's another addition to its bow as it's looking to strengthen that footprint.
Tiffany has struggled with a decline in sales in recent years, despite jewelry being one of the fastest growing luxury segments. So is it a matter of global economic malaise hitting customers, or is Tiffany just not cool enough for the younger demographic?
It's a global brand that has always excelled in craft. It's excelled in innovation. It's a brand that became part of culture as much as an icon of luxury. It has been through a number of transitions, and I think what LVMH sees is the opportunity now to really unlock the real potential of the brand for generations who are craving hard and fast the now and the next. And that really is where LVMH excels.
Reports indicate Tiffany could rebuff this offer, saying it's too low. Do you think there is a price at which it would go for a buyout?
The financials around this are always difficult to predict. We released our 20th edition of the Best Global Brands study. And in that, we value the most valuable global brands in the world. And Tiffany is one of those brands. The biggest area is, what is the shared value for the two brands? There's huge opportunity for the two to come together, as we've seen. And I think, obviously, as Tiffany knows, it's still going through a time of transition. So the pace of that change and the pace of that opportunity is really only one for it to call.
There could be more negotiations yet. Rebecca Robbins at Interbrand. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Pleasure.
Let's do the numbers. Tiffany shares are up nearly 20% in pre-market trading on Wall Street on talk of a takeover. We could also see liftoff of shares of British space tourism company Virgin Galactic, which is set to begin trading on the NYSE today. On this side of the pond, meanwhile, shares of HSBC are down nearly 4% after reporting an 18% plunge in quarterly profit. And the pound is little changed after the EU agreed this morning to a Brexit delay until the end of January. To Argentina now, where the central bank has restricted dollar purchases after left-wing candidate Alberto Fernandez won Sunday's presidential election. Though financial markets had anticipated a Fernandez victory, the new president still faces an economic crisis and distrust from international investors. The BBC's Daniel Gallas has more.
It is promising to be a rocky day in financial markets in Argentina as the country has chosen a populist left-wing president, Alberto Fernandez, to succeed the pro-business leader Mauricio Macri. Investors believe there may be a run on the national currency, the peso, which has lost more than 30% of its value this year. Market analysts say Mr. Fernandez is likely to undo many of the pro-business reforms carried out by President Macri in the past 4 years. They also fear the new government may default on its debt with the IMF. Argentina is South America's second largest economy. It has been suffering with severe economic problems for more than 5 years. Inflation is forecast to hit the 50% mark this year, the third largest in the world after Venezuela and Zimbabwe.
The BBC's Daniel Gallas reporting there. As the Indian economy slows, consumer spending is hitting the skids. Shops had to work harder to lure customers during this weekend's Diwali festival, when shoppers usually splash out on lavish gifts like gold jewelry. Now, brands are moving away from big cities just to find new customers, as the BBC's Davina Gupta reports.
We are at a photo shoot of the London-based online retailer Couvs. Young models are posing in the middle of the room with the season's latest fashion. And for Couvs, this is a desperate effort to turn around its fortunes in its single biggest market, India. But the Indian economy is facing a slowdown. And so we meet Mary Turner, the CEO of Couvs in Delhi, to talk about her latest strategy of targeting smaller cities here.
50% of our business comes from the metros. Yeah, Delhi, the Mumbais, the Hyderabads, the Chennais, and so on and so forth. But the other 50% comes from tier 2, tier 3 cities.
market in India.
This is what even the big e-commerce giant Amazon believes in. No wonder then it has chosen a southern Indian city to open its biggest global office. Amazon has been operating in India for around 6 years and has invested more than $5 billion. But it is yet to turn profitable here. Part of it is due to strict policies that don't allow online marketplaces like Amazon to hold an inventory and sell products. But Amazon India's country head, Amit Agarwal, is optimistic and tells us they are in talks with the government officials to change this policy.
There is a great degree of enthusiasm and alignment in how India can have policies that are a lot more stable, predictable, that can allow us to invest in the long run.
E-commerce only makes up around 5% of the retail market in India. The government has recently relaxed rules for single brand retail for brands like IKEA and Uniqlo. But even then, with the economic slowdown, it could be a while before online players see return on their investments. In Hyderabad, I'm the BBC's Devina Gupta for Marketplace.
Finally, if you thought your cell phone bill was bad, spare a thought for a group of Russian scientists tracking migrating eagles. After the birds flew to India and Pakistan, the team ran out of money due to, you guessed it, roaming charges. No, seriously, really, roaming charges. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.